Game Day blogger, member of the PowerCat Game Day crew, and he's got some company with him. I've seen now on Snapchat in between the break that Cole, you have a little bit of company with you ready to go. Do we think it's going to be a silent radio interview here the whole time, or are you anticipating some interruptions?
He is in a good mood, I will say that, but he's also in a talkative mood where he's making a lot of noises, so we'll see. He might have some input and analysis to provide on the game as well tonight.
Will you ask him if K-State loses tonight, did they actually make the tournament? What is Brody's take on that?
Well, okay, this is great journalism right here. We'll stick the phone up. What do you want me to ask him again?
If K-State loses tonight, did they really make the tournament?
Okay, let's see what he says. Brody, if K-State loses tonight, did they really make the tournament? He smiled.
Okay. I think that's probably a yes, right?
Yeah, I think so. He was talking there, but he stopped when I asked him that question and just smiled.
Okay. Well, I think it's a yes. So we have the foremost authority on the answer to that question now. But we were discussing this earlier, Cole. I don't know if you saw the Twitter question. Like, it just feels a little bit different playing on this first four night as opposed to playing in an NCAA tournament game on Thursday. And I know that sounds like an obvious statement, an obvious question or whatever, but doesn't this just have a different type of feel to it playing in one of these first four games?
You know, it always does. You know, you get so excited for the Thursday, Friday rounds of the NCAA tournament, and I think that's just human nature because we grew up, you know, just as that being like the Christmas morning for basketball fans on that Thursday morning when things kick off. And then when they added these first four play-in games, you know, it's just a different feel to it. I mean, I've never really been able to fully get invested to tune in. I mean, I watch the games, but it doesn't feel quite the same as that, you know, Thursday, Friday session when you're in the true first round. And so it's definitely a different type atmosphere. Said, you know, I'm excited to watch the game tonight. It's just different that one of your teams in the game. But I think, you know, it's something that I look forward to watching tonight.
So you don't have quite the emotional attachment to this game tonight, Cole, but how much did you get into those Big 12 tournament games? Because I know a lot of K-State fans were not expecting to enjoy that tournament as much as they did.
You know, I was into it. I kind of went through the day on Thursday thinking I wouldn't be that into it. I was at all the games Wednesday night and all day Thursday and had some nice seats behind the bench down in the lower level at Sprint Center. And as the day went on, I got a little more excited about the game against Baylor on Thursday. And then when I actually pulled that off, I started to really buy back in. You know, you were in a conversation just 10 days before that. I didn't see any way that Bruce Weber saved his job at that point. And I thought things were spiraling southward and maybe only saw one more win on the schedule. And then, you know, they recover. And when they beat Baylor, I was really in. And then, you know, Friday night against West Virginia, you're thinking, gosh, K-State could be playing for a Big 12 championship in the tournament tomorrow. And it was just kind of a whirlwind of emotions and a frustrating, you know, I know a lot of people, a lot of friends who were, you know, kind of off the bandwagon of this team, and they were fully invested again by Friday night as that game went on, and very frustrated to be sucked back in and then, you know, have the same situation happen at the end of that West Virginia game.
Yeah,
and you can hear Brody was too, apparently.
There we go. There it was. Yes. Yes. Well, I would imagine then that Brody, well, I don't know. I won't speak for him. To you, Cole, was the end of that game, the end of the West Virginia game, is it more about coaching or is it more just about a good launching off point for some of the struggles K-State has had at point guard this year?
Well, yeah, I don't think it's any secret that K-State struggles out of timeouts, and they have for quite a while, but you know, in that situation, I think it's a combination of both now. I think you and I have talked. I don't think K-State has a true point guard, and I think that's one of the big weaknesses. When you look at all the close games, they lose late. You don't have a go-to guy who can create his own shot, really, in those situations that can put the ball on the floor and create for others. You know, Kamau Stokes has a nice jump shot from three-point range, but he's not really your prototypical true point guard. He's a smaller guy who struggles to finish at the rim. You look at his two-point percentages on the season, I mean, he's below 34% on two-point attempts, which, you know, is a really bad percentage to have on the season. And so I think the issue when coaching in that situation, obviously Kamau Stokes can't pick the ball up there. He panics. Can't pick up your dribble. That just eliminates anything that you can do in that situation. But I would not have been drawing up a play to get the ball to Kamau Stokes in that situation just because he struggles so much to create his own shot. And look, I know K-State struggled throughout the year finding that guy to finish, but to me, I know he struggled at different times in the past. I think you got to go to Iwundu there just because of his ability to attack the rim with his length and size, get in there, penetrate, his passing ability, maybe draw contact and get a foul. So, you know, that was my biggest issue, was that they went with Stokes on the play to kind of lead that play.
Cole, how do you feel like K-State matches up with Wake Forest tonight?
Well, this is such a coin flip of a game. Look, I think these teams are, you know, it's not a Wake Forest team that has a ton of size, obviously. They have a great big man in John Collins, but outside of him, there's really no rim protectors. They don't overwhelm you with depth. They basically play seven guys. So it's pretty much even in that regard. And then, you know, you look at the overall size that they have. And then, you know, like I said, DJ Johnson, Dean Wade, Isaiah Maurice. And then on the Wake Forest side, you got Collins and Mitoglou, who's a pick-and-pop guy like Dean Wade. And so I think K-State matches up just fine. And so that's what makes this such a, you know, toss-up game. There's obviously challenges that Wake Forest presents, and they have a lot of great shooters on the perimeter, and then you have a big man that they can dump it down into who's tremendous. And so I think one of the keys tonight will obviously be keeping Wake Forest off the foul line, because they shoot 78% from the free throw line, which is one of the best marks in the country. And Danny Manning, you got to hand it to him. I mean, he's really developed John Collins, another big man, turned him into a possible lottery pick in just 2 years.
Yeah, that was, wasn't his reputation at Kansas like the big man whisperer for Bill Self?
Yeah, if you look at the big men that they developed at KU, a lot of guys that hadn't worked out and then, you know, really developed under Manning. You look at a Jeff Withey type. I believe Manning was still there with him, and then they had Cole Aldrich and others. You know, he was really good with big men. That's one of his big skills. And I think it's no secret that when you look at KU now, over the last few years, they really haven't had, you know, that dominant shot blocker, rim protector at the rim ever since Danny Manning left. You know, Landon Lucas is definitely a decent player, but outside of him, they haven't had a real dominant big man.
Cole Manbeck talking with us here on the show. What do you think is on the line tonight for Bruce Weber as far as his future is concerned?
Well, if they win tonight, you know, I would be shocked if he's not back next year. If they lose, I still think he's likely back in this situation, but it depends kind of how they lose. So let's say they get beat by, you know, 15, 20 points, then I think some things could certainly be up in the air then in that situation. But if it's a game that they win, I certainly think he's back. So, and Brody's really chiming in here as well.
He's got some hot takes on the future of K-State hoops.
Yeah, I don't know if he agrees with me or if he's trying to disagree, but I think, just to answer your question, John, I think if they win, he's back, and if they lose, still probably a 60-70% chance that he's back.
How many or how small of a shirt can you get that says Colt DeFrank on it? That's a legitimate question for both of you guys, by the way.
Well.
He's getting pretty big, so I think we need a 3 to 6 month shirt for him, and you're going to have to really blow the font up on that, John, because he's not very big.
That's
so
true.
On the overall shirt size, we might actually have to go small font.
You know, ironically enough, it's the second request that I've had today for one of the Colt DeFrank shirts. We have the design down. We just need to get the shirts actually made. So I'm really feeling the pressure on that now. Cole Manbeck talking with us here on the game. Do you feel like, I mean, the history is on the side of some of these teams in first four games. Obviously, every single year since it started back in 2011, at least one team has gone to the round of 32. You have VCU, which went to the Final Four, and you also have a couple Sweet 16 teams. Do you think K-State is capable of that? Do we now know the answer to that?
Yeah, I think K-State could definitely go on a little bit of run. I have a struggle seeing them get to the Sweet 16 if UCLA gets past Kent State, which I suspect they will, just because, you know, I've watched a lot of UCLA basketball this year, and those guys are so electric, and they can score it all over, and you know, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. So I could see them win this game and then possibly get past Cincinnati, just because Cincinnati is the type of team that usually grinds them out and doesn't blow teams out. And so that's a game that I think K-State could win. But I really can't see him getting past UCLA into the Sweet 16. So get to the round of 32. I think that's certainly a success. Play on Sunday this weekend and make it an exciting weekend for your fans.
Well, there's a lot of basketball to talk, but it's sort of tied hand-in-hand with the athletic director situation. Do you feel differently about where that is going now than you did a couple of weeks ago when John Curry announced that he was leaving?
Well, I do think they've opened up the search a little more, and I think they're still gathering information. My stance all along, early on especially, was let's get Laird Beach in place. I think it's a perfect fit, guy that's familiar with the program, been there for a while. He's a Manhattan native, loyal guy, played for Bill Snyder, has those relationships in place, and has certainly some strong relationships with donors. But the more that I hear about it, the more I think Chad Weiberg's getting more into the mix, a guy that was at K-State up until 2013, certainly was very instrumental in getting the Ahern Fund really going and raising money there. And he's a very likable guy as well. And so, he's at Texas Tech now as a deputy AD under Kirby Hocutt. I would not be surprised if Chad Weiberg is one of the top two or three candidates for this position. I wouldn't be surprised if he's named the athletic director. Get some fresh blood in.
Well, Cole, appreciate the time. I will let you get back to parenting. Thank you for at least attempting to get Brody's insight into anything. And we'll work on that Cult of Frank shirt, man. I can't wait for the day I get a Snapchat of him wearing the Cult of Frank t-shirt.
Yeah, we'll see what we can pull off here. Just to set the scene for you guys, we did this interview in the nursery here and had a needy black lab in the room as well that wanted attention. So we're fortunate he didn't bark.
Okay, well, you got your hands full. We'll let you go. Cole, appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there's Cole Manbeck with us here on the game.
So I come up with the idea for Brody getting a shirt. Am I getting a shirt?
Well, if you want one, I never felt like you were in the Cult of Frank.
I loved
Seemed
Frank
like you
Martin.
You fancied yourself being outside of that, being above that, perhaps.
No, I loved Frank Martin. I did.
But there's a D on the end of that word.
I love Frank Martin. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Hey, yes, absolutely. I think that's probably illegal, but we can just DM me or something. Slide into the DMs. Whatever it takes. If you really want one of those Cult of Frank t-shirts, it's taking off. It's taking off. Bob from Manhattan leaving a legacy, big time legacy. How about this? This is going to be my last show until the tournament actually starts. Let's see. I'm thinking out loud here. At least I'm not going to be able to do the show tomorrow. I want to tackle one of the biggest March Madness debates out there that comes up every time of year.
Yes, thank you.
When we're back here on the show. I figured you'd probably like that. You're listening to The Game.